righty, away we go. Hour number two of our radio program. That's what's happening. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We were just joined by a member of the Indianapolis Colts in Jonathan Taylor. So now let's welcome in Colts sycophant, Hot Take Hickey, who is here with us. The host of Hick at Night on the Infinity Sports Network, Sundays 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time. He's also the executive producer for the JR Sports Brief Extravaganza. And as he told us last week, he doesn't like Hawk Tua, which is something that's crazy.
Right. And guess what? Mets keep on winning without her. Who's right?
Well, she's still a part of the Mets team, and the Mets continue to spit on that thing up against the rest of Major League Baseball. Okay, let's do about 45 seconds to a minute on the Mets. Here's my take. I think for the first time this postseason, all the pressure is on the Mets tonight. If the Mets win tonight, I feel like they will win one more at home, and if they take two out of three up against the Dodgers, the way that this team performs this year, I would have all the confidence in the world for this team to get one more in LA with two chances to do so potentially, then go off to the World Series. I truly do believe if the Mets take two out of three from the Dodgers at Citi Field starting tonight, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the Mets are going to the World Series.
They have a great chance, I think, to sweep the Dodgers at home and end this in five.
Oh, jeez.
Even if they go, if they lose two out of three at home, I still have a lot of faith. They can go on the road and win two in LA. That's what this team is. Every time you knock them down, every time you think the quote-unquote magic has run out, what do? Get off the table, punch right back, and bounce back. So I think they'll win this in six. I think they'll win two out of three at home. But if, again, worst-case scenario happens here, where they lose two out of three at home, I still have a lot of faith. They go to L.A., they win two, and they go to the World. They're winning the World Series this year. I've said it before to you on the show, off the air, on the air. They're winning the World Series, no doubt about it.
I would love to have your confidence if they lose two out of three to then say that they're going to go into L.A. and get both. I would not have that confidence, but I get paid to give my opinion. You get paid to give your opinion, so we'll agree to disagree on that. We could agree on this, though. Turn out the lights. The party's over. The Yankees are going to the World Series.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, they are.
The Yankees were going to the World Series after the Astros got eliminated by the Tigers.
You can also, I think, guarantee whoever wins the NL is winning the World Series. But they're going to the World Series.
See, I'm not ready to go there. If you put a gun to my head right now, hold on. Can I finish my sentence here before you jump down my throat and basically look at me like I'm a criminal?
I just was breathing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to breathe. I'll breathe quietly.
I'll be like Jerry Jones. That you're not paid to do that. And you know what? I'll find somebody else
if
I don't like you.
Me, I'll take your checks.
Yeah, I'll get you dinner at the end of the year or something like that for the holiday season. But anyway. What I was saying was, if you put a gun to my head, if you go Yankees or Dodgers or Mets, I would take the Dodgers or the Mets. I do think the team that wins the NL is going to win the World Series. I just don't think it's a lock like you are making it out to be.
I'll say this nicely.
Can we just win tonight, please?
They don't do really anything well, the Yankees, at this point. Their bullpen's great. They have a great bullpen.
They do things well. They're
sloppy,
good, not great.
They're getting gifts from the Guardians night after night. The way the Dodgers are playing, the way the Mets are playing, as long as they don't have an implosion I don't see coming, they should win in five.
Now, I live and die by my listeners.
Okay.
And I saw something in your YouTube chat on Sunday, and you claimed that you weren't having a bad hair day because you were just wearing a hat and you were supporting the Mets.
That's right.
Now, once again, on my YouTube chat today, people think you were having a bad hair day. So, can you can we at least get like a take it off chant or something? Like, we got to build this up. We have a whole
chant. Take it off. Come on, Stu.
Take it off. There we go. Take it off.
Can we see what's under the hat today? What's under the hood?
Under the hood?
Still good hair.
Huh? I mean, it's a little flat.
Still good
better
hair.
Than mine would look after wearing.
But you know what? I think that's how your hair should look like. When you gel it up and you don't wear the hat, it's like too high. This is at an appropriate height level.
I think this is too flat. Like in the camera, I mean, this looks.
No, yeah, it's appropriate height level.
We need some height here. I got to get over 6 foot, and that's part of why.
But
you grow
your forehead doesn't look as shiny when you have the hair like up as if you're Jimmy Neutron for crying out loud. Your forehead comes off as a little shiny. I think this is a better looking version of Hot Take Hickey compared to what you do and how you try to perform when you're on camera.
So I'm ugly 99% of the time because I don't wear hats a lot.
And I didn't say that.
I just gotta hope that the Mets keep on winning, and maybe I'll never take this hat off. That's I guess the, you know, fine. You want the hat off? The hat's off. The hat is off, folks.
All righty. Can we get to a little college football here?
Let's.
My takeaway with Penn State is this. Ooh. I was very impressed with their second half effort. It was the Spider-Man meme, James Franklin, Lincoln Riley, where James Franklin did not have his team ready to go. And then Lincoln Riley, who I've told you is overrated now for years, he just gagged that game away at the end. But there's not a lot of great teams in college football. That was a heck of a win for Penn State. I think they are a very good team, like they've been in previous years, but not a great team. How far are you willing to go with Penn State? I'm still at the point of, I think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're winning the Big Ten. Can they have a home playoff game? Absolutely. They should have a home playoff game. But I'm still willing to go as far as only saying I think they're just in the playoffs this year.
I think they could definitely win a playoff game.
Sure.
I mean,
they could win a playoff game.
I would say right now, I'm not saying they will win the national title. I think they're in the conversation. That's all.
Okay.
In part.
And before the year, you would not put them in that
correct.
Conversation.
I said make the playoff and I'll be happy. But like you said before, there's no great college football team. I would say Texas this year has been the most consistent and dominant team in all of college football. Everybody else mm-hmm. has some sort of wart, some sort of stumble, concern. And so when the, like, this is the gap between like the elite teams and everybody else, I would say this year has shrunk more than ever. When you have a lot of good teams, but no one's really separated themselves or no one has truly played their best football yet, I think it's wide open. So I'm not picking Penn State to win, but I think there are like legitimately 10 teams that can win a national title this year. I think they're one of them.
I liked you better when you were walking out of the Rose Bowl drunk as a skunk, and you couldn't be more wrong. But when you would just say that they're going to win the national championship, I like that better than this, like, hickey, I've been beaten down so many times before, so now I don't want my heart to break. We know once Penn State gets into the playoff, because even James Franklin will find a way to get into the postseason this year. We all know we're going to get the, all right, Penn State's playing. Give me a team that you'll play in the playoff, just a random team.
Let's go Alabama.
Penn State's playing Alabama. Let's go Nets. Let's go Nets. Let's go Nets. Let's go Nets.
Why can't it be both ways? Like, I could try to be objective, and then as soon as kickoff happens, I'm emotionally invested, and I'd be devastated if they lose.
Like, this could be the first year you're actually objective with Penn State, I will say.
But I mean, I'll tell you, I'll promise you this. 12 o'clock noon, November 2nd, when they play Ohio State, I will be committed to myself. Whatever I say prediction-wise,
yeah.
Emotionally, I'll be devastated if
they
lose.
You know what? I actually hope Penn State wins that game.
Me too.
And I think that would surprise... Like, I can't stand James Franklin, but I think I despise Ryan Day more than James Franklin. Like, I have already said everything I've needed to say about James Franklin. Ryan Day is the definition of a really good coach, not a great coach. He thinks higher of himself than he actually is, and he just gives me, like, fake tough guy vibes. And I thoroughly enjoyed his team not being aware at the end of that game up against Oregon.
That was not a great look. As a coach, you got to, you know,
you
get your guys
look like
organized.
You kind of Ryan Day a little bit.
This is all natural.
Hold on.
This is not the beer dye.
You are better looking than Ryan Day. But what I mean by Ryan Day, I think, tries, when he goes to sleep at night, I think he looks up at the ceiling and he says, I have to look like that Ryan Hickey on the radio. Because he tries to take that hairdo from you. And the beard as well. You guys have a similar beard, just yours is natural. And he, like, bathes in Just for Men.
Yeah. And it's a little patchier as well. Not that.
Oh, is it? I didn't realize that.
His is very patchy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But anyway, yes. That's sure. If Ryan Day wants to look like me, go for it, Ryan. If you want to coach badly against Penn State, I also appreciate that as well.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Georgia, Texas. Before I give you the spread, because I had a thought, and now I don't know how to feel about this once I just looked at the spread. Who do you think wins this game, Georgia, Texas?
Texas. Texas wins. Texas wins, period.
By how much?
I say 31-23, so that is eight okay. points.
Well, let's see. 31-23?
31-23.
25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. That is 8 points. I had to count on my fingers there. So, I think Georgia's going to win the game.
Interesting. Why?
I have Texas right now as the number one team in the country. But to your point, even though Texas had a great win, a statement win up against Michigan, even though Michigan is not that good this year, But walking into the Big House and blowing out an opponent the way they did, and also Red River, I know Oklahoma, it was overrated heading into the year. They're still somehow overrated now, but their offense kind of speaks to the quality of the sport. That was still a great win for Texas, just blowing out Oklahoma. I think what you're saying, this year in college football, you know how we used to look at the Pac-12? How whenever you'd fall in love with the team, they lose? That's what I think this is the year with college football. And Georgia, they showed you what they could be in the second half up against Alabama. I just think this is a spot Georgia doesn't lose. And I think you see more second half Carson Beck than first half Carson Beck. I think it's going to be a high octane offense type of game. You know, I think I'm going to bet Georgia plus the points. Because can Texas win? Absolutely. But this to me has like a 34-31 type of game. I'll just go with Georgia in this one. But then I look at the spread and it's Texas laying 5. And I think that's Vegas. And this is how I bet, which may not be the way that like actual gambling people look at it. It's just how I feel. I just tell you how I feel. I look at that spread, Texas laying 5. I feel like it's begging you to take the points with Georgia. So now I'm conflicted on that. But I do think Georgia wins 34-31.
I just don't know how Georgia... I don't know how they win, to be honest. Because Texas is like Quinn.
You don't
Ewers
see
is
any
a,
chance Georgia winning?
I know. I mean, not no chance.
Okay.
Because like,
I was like, going to say that's why I like Georgia
even more.
You talk
about like a path. Like, what's the path? Carson Beck has not been very good.
And he hasn't.
The second half of the Alabama game is honestly looking more like an anomaly. The Auburn game after the Alabama game, that offense is not very good.
Yeah,
Mississippi State did not play well.
I can't put much. You knew they were going to beat those teams. They just had to show off and get off the bus.
But also, part like they have real holes.
Play
they can't run the
Texas.
Football whatsoever. Like they have concerns in their pass defense. Like Georgia has actual like true concerns on this team for the first time maybe since 2020, and like there should be an urgency to fix them. Even again, you're beating Auburn. There's no doubt about it. You're beating Mississippi.
Sure.
There's no doubt about it. But why aren't you not dominating these teams the way you used to? Well, why aren't you pulling away? Why are the question marks we have still popping up in these games? Because they can't fix them. They can't run the football. Georgia, think about that. Georgia can't run the football. And so with Texas's defense, they are a tremendous defense. I think Beck's kind of his hands full. And Quinn Ewers, I think, is going to have some success here with all these pass catchers against Georgia secondary.
Alabama-Tennessee. This weekend, where do you lean? I think this is the toughest game to predict because Alabama looked like all that and then some of the first half up against Georgia. And since then, outside of Ryan Williams looking like a ballerina and with everything that he was able to do in that 75-yard touchdown catch and the run after that, ever since that moment, for Alabama, like, okay, you lose to Vanderbilt. I'm not saying that's acceptable. That's embarrassing. But I thought they would look a lot sharper up against South Carolina and the South Carolina game.
Makes me go,
I don't know what Alabama is. I lean Alabama just because of this. Tennessee's offense, I thought was going to be all that. It looks like their defense is better than their offense. And Nico Iamaliava was awesome to start. And then, what was it, 2 weeks ago, he ran out of bounds when you have to throw the ball with the game on the line.
You are right. This game I'm calling the immovable force meets an unstoppable object because Tennessee's offense stinks. Bama's defense stinks. Something has to give. I'm actually going to trust Bama's defense in this game because, like you said, Tennessee's offense, I can't figure it out. In the SEC play, they have been horrific. Nico has one touchdown in SEC play. That's it. He's been held to under 200 passing yards in each of the last three games. They've played Arkansas. They played Florida last week. They should... Why Billy Napier didn't go for 2? Different discussion. Anyway.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Cowardly.
Like, you have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. Anyway, but like...
Most people already think you're fired, and you got a tough schedule coming up.
That Tennessee offense is a real concern. The defense probably is the best unit in this game of the four, Tennessee's defense. I will trust Bama's defense to make enough plays here to squeak out a win. I think it's lower scoring, 23-17-ish. I'll take Bama on the road.
Now, also why I like Alabama. I don't know what the heck they were doing last week, and they got to get Ryan Williams the ball more.
Yes.
Ryan Williams, to me, is the best player on the field.
Yes, I agree.
Therefore, that's why I'm going Alabama. And things I can't trust, and there's a lot I can't trust in this game, just get the ball to Ryan Williams, and Alabama wins this game, in my opinion.
I agree.
All right. I actually like Michigan to beat Illinois this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
There is no reason right now that Michigan on the road should be a 3.5-point favorite. That's why I like Michigan.
Going back to the old theory. Okay.
I just think Michigan will run the snot out of the ball. Illinois had their best performance up against Nebraska. Illinois against Penn State wasn't anything to be all that impressed by, even though it was a
defense
closer game.
Well.
Their defense is good, but offensively, I like Altmyer. I know Michigan has no quarterback. I just think this is a Mullings game. Now, let me get this one I'm fascinated by. Nebraska, Indiana. Now, a few weeks ago, Nebraska, Rutgers, I was like, wow, I'm actually excited about that. I'm excited for Nebraska and Indiana. Indiana's undefeated at 6-0. They have been a great story. The coach is energetic as energetic could be. He said all those big things walking in. First six games look like a home run hire. Nebraska, 5-1. You finally have seen some freshman moments from Dylan Raiola where he's still really damn good, but he's not going to be. Here's a breaking news alert. He's not Patrick Mahomes each and every week. There's going to be some moments with like any young quarterback, and we've seen that with Nico. You even saw with Arch when he played, when there are some growing pains. This, though, is going to be a whole lot of fun when you watch Nebraska and Indiana. I think, like, right now, Indiana's 6.5-point favorite. I would take the points because I think this is coming down to a field goal.
I agree. I think Indiana wins by four, so I'm with you. I think Nebraska covers the almost 7-point spread. Indiana's the best story, I think, in college football this year. 6-0. Their win total this year is 5.5. They've already surpassed that in the first six games of the season. And you win this game, which I think they will. This is by far the toughest test. But I do trust that offense led by Curtis Rourke. They've been lighting it up. Even though Nebraska's defense is good, I think they'll have success. You look at Indiana's schedule here. Now, they have to win games that you should, including Michigan at home. If you win games you are favored in, which will be every game but Ohio State, they're in the playoff.
Oh.
Indiana's going to the playoff this year.
Wait, you think they're going to the
playoff?
They're
going to the playoff this year. I can promise you that. 11-1, they're in the playoff.
Wait, you... If they go 11-1...
They're going 11-1, and they're making the playoff.
Wow. So, their remaining schedule. Let's see how crazy this is.
Look at it.
Nebraska, Washington...
At home.
Michigan State...
Noon kick.
Michigan, Ohio State, Purdue.
They'll be favored in all but Ohio State. Now, you probably... The only thing I'll say is you can't get blown out by Ohio State and lose 50-3.
Folks, I'm just telling you one thing here. Bet Nebraska this week. Bet Nebraska.
They're going to the playoff. Indiana, let's go. I'm on the bandwagon. Kirk Cignetti. Smoke him if you got him.
Is this his,
they got him.
Is he one and done at Indiana?
I hope not. I mean, he's a really good coach.
Florida?
He's won everywhere. I would try to hire him if I was Florida. If I was, I mean, a lot of these schools. Florida
Auburn?
State, Auburn. Like, I'm not going to fire Hugh Freeze.
I don't either, but just.
I really hope he's an older guy, so I don't know if that's going to push away. I would absolutely have him circled as one of, if not the top choice.
He's 63. He does not look 63.
And does not have the energy of a 63-year-old. But he's kind of like Kalen DeBoer in a way. He's bounced around a lot. He was like Elon, IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Why that's the called, I have no idea, but it is. Like, he's at a lot of small schools and won everywhere he's been. James Madison.
Why'd you say PU with that school?
IUP.
Oh, I thought you said PU.
IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. I have no idea.
I thought you were just being disrespectful.
No, no, no. But he wins everywhere he goes. Hire him.
Here's my NFL prediction this week. No undefeated teams. No undefeated teams after this week. I think the Vikings lose to the Lions, and I believe that the 49ers have more to prove clearly than the Chiefs. I think the 49ers beat Kansas City, just like how the Eagles beat the Chiefs last year in the regular season, which really means nothing.
Bad news for you. I agree on both.
No, that's fine.
I'm just saying, I agree. I'm with you. Who has a tougher win? Is it the Lions over the Vikings, or is it the Niners over the Chiefs?
Ooh.
Which one do you feel worse about?
I would say the Lions and the Vikings I feel worse about, just because the one fear I have with the Lions, even though they could absolutely win a Super Bowl still without Aiden Hutchinson, and Hutch is great, I love Hutch, but how much of a mental game is that for the Lions? Like, how caught up in their feelings are they for what happened last week after losing one of their leaders in what was a game where everything was rolling? Does that maybe carry over into this week? So that's why I think Lions-Vikings would be a little bit tougher.
I agree that defense sues. They need some pass rush. And they lose their number one guy. And you can't get home to Sam Darnold.
And the thing is, when I look at the Chiefs, Mahomes hasn't been great this year, but I think the 49ers are just getting right at the right time. And I don't think there's a ton of motivation in this one for Kansas City. Like, Kansas City plays the way that they have. It's weird to say that they're undefeated. In that performance up against the Niners, I think the Niners are going to find a way to win and maybe win going away.
Big key. No Taylor Swift.
Oh, she's not going?
Second or the last leg of the Eras Tour is kicking off this week.
That's still going on.
Still going on. It's been like 2 years. It's crazy. Give her a lot of credit for touring that long.
That's like when Kiss said they were retiring, and they've been on this retirement tour for now 25 years or something like that. So you have a Halloween costume, by the way?
I do not.
Last year was easy. I did Connor Stallions. There's not anything really big in the sports world now that I can make fun of. But I've been thinking about Halloween.
I'm not a Halloween guy. Mm-hmm. If I was to dress up, I'd probably dress up as Grimace. To be honest,
yeah, but it's tough to do a radio. I thought about Grimace. You can't do a radio show dressed up as Grimace.
Well, okay. I guess I was thinking radio show dressing up. I was thinking like
maybe
going
the radio
out to
show
a party.
You do. Maybe. The radio. Then they won't have to hear your takes because the Grimace costume would be covering your mouth.
A lot of people, I think, would appreciate that.
Last thing, we had your guy Jonathan Taylor on. Why do you gotta slam the desk and go nuts?
I'm excited.
We had Jonathan Taylor.
It's a great get by you, and he's a great guy.
He said, when healthy, he agrees with Shane Steik and Anthony Richardson should be starting over Joe Flacco. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I don't know if I told you this, but I'll tell you this now in retrospect here.
Yeah.
I would have rather last week Anthony Richardson start and lose the game against the Titans than win the game with Joe Flacco. Anthony Richardson has to play.
Yeah, you got to figure out what
he
is.
Get him on the field. If he stinks, he stinks. It's easier to move on. If he's great, great. We got a franchise quarterback. The only way you find out is if he's on the field. Enough with Joe Flacco. It was never a quarterback controversy. Mm-hmm. All it is health. He looks healthy this week. He's a full practice participant. He should play this week. Knock on wood, he stays healthy the rest of the season. I don't care how well Joe Flacco plays. I don't care how many wins he gets the Colts. It is all irrelevant.
Okay.
Play AR. JT's right.
Three comments that I'll read you, and then I'm taking a break. Number one, from Smiley. I think this is Bella B in Calgary. Is Hickey European? His hands flail like mine do when he speaks. Are you
Aren't
European?
Aren't we all European?
I'm just asking.
I mean, I'm Irish. I'm Italian. I got a little German sprinkled in slightly.
Okay.
I mean, 23andMe, I think everyone's somewhat European.
Yeah, you're not wrong on that. Daly says, Infinity Sports Network has mandated a 6-foot radius for everyone when Hickey is talking for safety.
I can't reach you, so we're good. I got a short wingspan, too, so everyone is safe here in the studio.
Now, I don't know if Terry Wilson is playing off of Jose Iglesias.
Okay.
But Terry Wilson says, bad hair day. OMG, 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 OMG. I don't think you have a bad hair day today.
I'm trying to see in the
Your hair's just not on steroids today. Or if like your hair's like on Viagra when it's like standing up 10 feet in the air for crying out loud.
It's hard to tell on the camera.
I think it's a better height level than what you usually work with.
It's padded down, but okay. All right. I'll try to go for the height, but I guess the flatter the hair, maybe the better, some are saying.
All
Good
right.
to know.
You can listen to Ryan Hickey Sunday evenings right here on the Infinity Sports Network from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time. Can you do me a favor, by the way, before you do your show this week? You do this thing before you get on the air where like you fire yourself up, you sit there, you're on camera, like you're going nuts. And then when you're given the take, this is when I know you're really in your bag. You like put your hands on the chair right here and you stand up and you readjust yourself. Like, why do you do that?
Move around. Just, I don't know.
I think you're psyching yourself out.
He does do that. He does.
You're right?
That. Yeah.
Azarim,
I'm with
it.
Him every now and then. So, yeah, I think
you'd do a better radio show if you just walked in, Joe Cool, you sit down, you do the show. I don't think you need to fire yourself up.
Well, the music coming back is usually, it's the one I select, to be honest, so I like it. So,
what's your open again?
He has different ones.
I don't want to work.
Todd Grungum.
Yeah, that's not
name.
A fire up.
Want to bang on my drum all day?
No, but his music playlist, like coming back, is actually good songs.
Okay.
Thank you, Alex. Alex knows.
We're putting his arm on load management. Too many words today. He starts agreeing with Hickey. Please, microphone off. Alrighty. Good stuff. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports, though. Alrighty, so I'm going to a baseball game tonight. You may have heard of it. It's the NLCS at Citi Field for Game 3. The Mets and Dodgers are tied up at one game apiece. It will be Luis Severino up against Walker Buehler, excuse me. But let me ask this question. So I'm going to eat at the ballpark tonight.
Yes. Good place to eat.
There is. Now, when it's the playoffs and you have so many people there, I would usually go get, when I go to Citi Field, the Pat LaFrieda filet mignon cheesesteak, which when Stu and I went to the Yankee-Met game together earlier this year, that's where I said to Stu we had to get, and you would agree it was pretty damn good.
A+. Very good.
But to go wait in line for the filet mignon cheesesteak, it's going to take way too long. Like, regular season, okay, I can miss a half an inning. I'm not missing any part of an NLCS game. And also, I think I'm going to consume a few beers at the ballpark tonight. So I don't want it to be like too much of a gluttonous Wednesday evening where I go get a filet mignon cheesesteak and then go drink like four or five beers or whatever. Because I'm going with my brother-in-law, so we'll have a few drinks, obviously. So I'll just ask this simple question. Ballpark food tonight. Let's like traditional ballpark food. Hot dog, hamburger, sausage and peppers, chicken fingers and fries, stew. What's your go-to? Just traditional ballpark food.
It depends on the place, but I probably go chicken fingers and fries.
Okay.
As like the basic go-to.
Alex Azarm, who I found out this week, is a big baseball fan. I only thought, judging by his social media and my conversations with him, that he only likes soccer. Because all, like, you went to the World Cup, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah, so I only looked at you as a soccer person. Like, I will pigeonhole people around here where, like, I look at Hickey as a college football guy. I look at Ack as a college basketball coach because he resembles one with the way that he dresses. That's a compliment. I know that you like all every sport, Ack. I understand that. There's just certain guys, when I have a conversation with them, I think about something about them, and I just never think that they could like other things.
Baseball isn't even my second favorite sport.
It's not your second favorite?
No, it's my second favorite sport is basketball. Oh. NBA, yeah.
So soccer's your first.
It's soccer, basketball.
You know what? We got to start doing something with the people that work on this show. You love soccer. Stu loves soccer. Samter loves soccer. Like, enough with all you soccer nuts trying to shove it down our throats.
Boyle loves soccer.
Boy, do you know what Pat
Gallo loves soccer.
Do you know what Pat Boyle's doing? Have you heard what Pat Boyle's doing?
No.
I guess there is a company that is running advertisements on WFAN, and they were looking for someone to endorse it. Pat Boyle is now endorsing like a sperm bank donation, and he is getting paid.
Fantastic.
He is getting paid, I think, like $1,500 a month to donate his goods.
I've heard about this. It pays a lot more than you would imagine it would.
So funny you bring that up. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for telling this story. I'm not going to say who, but someone in my family, and I can't believe they asked me this question, because the person asked me this question in my family at my parents' birthday dinner this year while we're all sitting at the table. And I couldn't believe that this person asked me this question. But one of their friends is trying to, I'm going to get in trouble, but who cares, is trying to be a mother. They need someone. So they asked me if I would make a donation. And I was like, no, that's not happening. Because that's still a responsibility. That's like, there's a little gelb running around somewhere. Even if you make me sign something that I have no responsibility, I just felt weird about it. So I got annoyed because where it was asked. And I was like, give me $1 million, then I'll do it. So I didn't know Pat Boyle was going to get an endorsement for this for $1,500. So how about that? So that's what Pat Boyle is doing.
That's what he's up to these days.
He's going today. I saw him in the hallway. He's like proud of it. He's like, yep, I'm going to do the deed in like 2 hours from now. So that's what Pat Boyle's getting paid to do. I don't know how long the endorsement's going to last, but Pat Boyle getting paid to donate. I want to try to be correct on the radio when saying this, that there's like a kid listening to us right now, but he's getting
to start off about
paid to leave a deposit somewhere.
Ballpark foods.
Yeah. See, Azarm, good job. He's reeling us back in. Reeling us back in. So Azarm, Stu, you said chicken fingers and fries?
Yes.
Ballpark food, traditional ballpark food, what you going?
I'd probably just go with the hot dog and fries instead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably my classic go to. Ketchup and mustard.
Ack, you go to a ballpark?
If I haven't eaten, I will get a burger or something of the like, where like at Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, they have either Pat LaFrieda's work, so I'll get that. But mostly my go-to is hot dog.
I'm leaning chicken fingers and fries tonight, but if I see a...
Better get some soup. It's going to be cold out there.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I still got some thick skin, I will say.
What do you? You got like the hand warmers?
Oh no! So this is not how I'm going to the game.
I
have a long sleeve thermal. I got my jersey and a winter coat, gloves, and a ski cap.
Okay. And what about the toes? The hands and the toes, very important.
I've been to -2 degree games in Buffalo.
That's the extremities that hurts.
Tonight, this is like a 75 degree night in terms of what I'm used to in the
past.
All
right, but don't say I didn't warn you. You know, because that's where you are the wise coach around here. You get those like $2 hand warmers at like any drugstore.
I don't think tonight's a hand warmer night.
You know, you'd be surprised.
Okay.
Well, just saying.
I'll text you during the game if my fingers are cold, and I'll say, Ack, you are right.
Thank
you. So chicken fingers or fries is what I think the favorite right now, but I could see myself if I see an Italian sausage stand at the stadium going a little sausage and peppers with some French fries. Okay.
Now, the one thing you're kind of worried about the timing. The game is at 8, so if you – I don't know what time you plan on getting there, but –
So I am
you have
leaving
more
the
time
studio.
Than we had when we went.
Yes, I'm leaving the studio right at 6. I have to do a hit in Waco, Texas at 6:15. Ends at 6:15. I'll then get on the subway, make a 6:37 train from Penn Station to Mets Willett Point. I will be at the stadium by 7 p.m. Yeah, pretty much. I think it's 6:55 exactly.
Oh,
or maybe 6:53.
It's slowed down a little.
Yeah. So I will be off the boardwalk down in front of the Apple walking into the stadium at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
Your tickets give you any of the clubs?
So, bought the tickets online. I'm sitting. I'm with the real fans tonight. I'm sitting all the way up back. So, I don't know if I have
There's a food court
tickets.
Up there, though.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, because Steve Cohen actually cares about his fans, even though the Bullpens made the stadium. But we'll give
isn't
every credit
to Isn't there a restaurant up there, too, behind the plate?
I'm not going to lie, Ack.
Okay.
I haven't been in the 500 section since the 2015 World Series.
Okay, there you go.
let's see. Tonight's seats, do they come with anything funky? Let's see.
Probably not if you're in the 500s.
No. Nothing. Okay. Nothing. Let's see tomorrow, because I am going tomorrow as well. Tomorrow I got the Piazza Club.
There you go.
So that's in the 300 section.
I know where it is.
Yeah, so. All right, anyway, it is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Where are tomorrow's seats?
They are behind the plate in the 300 or 400 section.
Oh, very good.
I got invited by a buddy of mine who's in the PR world, so very excited to go there. But anyway, when we come on back, Travis Hunter on why he should win the Heisman Trophy and why Ashton Jeanty shouldn't. If you're listening to us in Boise, it's not my opinion. But this is a Travis Hunter opinion that you want to hear when we come on back. Update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Former NFL General Manager Thomas Dimitroff is going to join us at the top of the hour. He's now the co-host of the Sumer Sports Show with Lindsey Rhodes. By the way, Eric Eager, who used to be a part of Sumer Sports, we've talked about this before. He now works with the Carolina Panthers. So congratulations to Eric Eager, who went from Sumer Sports to then getting his way into an NFL organization. And now he has a role with the Carolina Panthers. So congratulations to him. But usually when we talk to Thomas Dimitroff, we also talk to Eric Eager. And then I saw that Thomas is now doing the show over at Sumer Sports with Lindsey Rhodes, since Eric Eager is now off to the NFL. Let's hear from Travis Hunter. This is Travis Hunter on the Out of Pocket podcast with our buddy RG3. This is Travis Hunter on his Heisman hopes. Listen up to what he had to say. And there's a part about here that if you're listening to us right now in Boise on KTIK, The Ticket, you're going to be like, ooh, I don't like the way that he just talked about Ashton Jeanty. Listen up.
I mean, y'all see Ashton Jeanty, but it's not like we haven't seen a running back that's good.
All right.
We haven't seen a player that plays both ways, and I'm going to keep saying that. It's like he have 95 carries?
Yeah.
For 1,000
yards. Yeah.
If I had 95 catches, how much yards you think I have?
Okay. That's a good point.
I'm trying to tell him, like, if I had 95 targets on defense, what you think I'll have?
Right.
Oh. If I had 95 catches on offense, what you think I'll have? So I try to tell you, like, he got double the touches I got on the offensive side of the ball, and I still have defensive stats that's still crazy, and we only in week 6.
So let me just say this. I think there's a way to make a case for you to win the Heisman Trophy without having to take shots and trying to devalue Ashton Jeanty. And I get it. You are making a case for you to win the award, so it's easy then when you look at who's the next guy, it's Ashton Jeanty, And in a lot of sports books, that's not how the award is determined. Ashton Jeanty is the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. So I look at what Travis Hunter said in two ways. One, he knows right now when you have to feel like to go out of your way to take a little shot at Ashton Jeanty and try to devalue what he's doing, that he knows in the back of his mind, or at least thinks in the back of his mind, that Ashton Jeanty is the biggest threat to him winning the Heisman Trophy, which should be a compliment. But when you basically say we've seen a lot of guys do things that Ashton Jeanty has done and have good seasons like Ashton Jeanty has done, Ashton Jeanty is not just having a good season. Ashton Jeanty's having like a Barry Sanders type of season. 126 carries, 1,248 yards, and 18 total touchdowns. Ashton Jeanty right now is on pace to have like 36 touchdowns and 2,496 yards. So to just be like, oh, we've seen other guys have good seasons, that's not fair to Ashton Jeanty. Now, I think Travis Hunter's best point, and we've seen guys play both ways, but not at the amount of reps that Travis Hunter has been able to put out on the field and on film. And I don't want this debate to get nasty because there's a case for both guys to win the award. Like, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter. I think I will vacillate about four or five different times if this continues between Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter. Right now, let me be abundantly clear. Splitting hairs, you get three Heisman Trophy votes. My ballot is not due for a long time. It's not even open yet. And I wait until after conference championship week. Now, I got to be careful with how I say this because you're not supposed to say who you're voting for. But my vote today on Wednesday, October 16th, is not how necessarily I'm going to vote at the end of the season. So when we get into November, when we get into December, I'm not going to give you one, two, and three. But if I had to put pen to paper today, one, two, and three, I would go Ashton Jeanty one, Travis Hunter two, and then I would put Cam Ward in at three with lurking in that fourth spot, Quinn Ewers. Unfortunately, Quinn missed some games, but now he's back. Quinn Ewers goes balls out up against Georgia this week. Hey, it's a different conversation. But this is now a week-to-week conversation, and the Heisman Trophy isn't won in October. And a few weeks ago, I thought it was Travis Hunter's. But what Jeanty's been able to do, and the award goes to the most outstanding player in the country. And I think right now the conversation's really between two people when we look through the first six, 7 weeks of the season because of how outstanding Jeanty has been and how outstanding Travis Hunter has been. But the answer, Stu, by Travis Hunter, I don't know if he meant it this way, but it almost came off as if he felt like he had to go out of his way to devalue what Jeanty is doing to kind of prop himself up, which I don't think necessarily he had to do. And to devalue it of, oh, you know, Jeanty is just having a good season, We've seen other guys have those types of seasons, I don't think is fair or it's right. Like, Travis Hunter could have just said, hey, what Shohei Ohtani does in baseball when he's pitching, you know, he's an elite pitcher, and he's obviously elite at the plate. For me, I am the Shohei Ohtani of college football, where I'm playing both ways. I'm an elite corner, and I'm an elite wide receiver. Period. Stop. Nobody else in the country can do what I could do. If he would have just said that, we're probably not even talking about it today. But when you bring up Jeanty and basically just make it as if he's having just another good season, like a bunch of other good seasons that running backs have had, it's like, I don't really love the, it doesn't affect how I vote, but I don't love the answer by Travis Hunter personally. So
yeah, you're right. There is no need to do that. And I listened to the entire audio when I pulled it. It wasn't like he was asked about Jeanty. He was just asked about his Heisman case.
Yeah.
And he's the one who brought Ashton Jeanty up. So
yeah,
that's where it's weird. Like, if he was asked about Jeanty, fine. He can kind of compare himself and contrast himself to Jeanty. But
now, the Colorado guys, they're not stupid.
No.
And they also, they have a PhD in marketing because of who their head coach is. And that is kind of a page out of the Coach Prime, who I love, Deion Sanders' playbook, where you don't just give an answer to give an answer. You give an answer for fireworks. And as someone that's in the content business, that is a firework answer. It is. Because you're right. It wasn't about Genty. But he knows right now Genty is the odds-on favorite to win the award. And the other guy that really has received significant national praise that's standing in his way of winning the award. And who knows, a few weeks from now, he could just have a quarterback of the best team that could end up winning the Heisman Trophy, because we've seen that go that way for so many years.
Yeah, and to your point, if he would have said the thing you said, if he compared himself to Ohtani, I think that would have gotten a lot of play too. So I just don't think it's necessarily. They're two great, amazing players. They're probably going to finish one or two. They're both going to be finalists. Again, you just have to take shots at him.
Now, the only thing is, the health is a big thing. And we saw Travis Hunter get dinged up last week. Last year, we saw him get dinged up as well. When he's on the field, it is ridiculous. It's out of this world. He's one of my favorite players in college football. All right, period, stop. But how much of the injuries maybe play a factor in here? Because if you're not on the field, you get taken out, or not taken out of the Heisman Trophy conversation, because you'd still be a finalist. But it's tough to win the award when you miss a few games, if he does, in fact, miss a few games. So I figure we would play that audio for you. All right, it is the Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Really quick 2 hours as we put it in the books right there. Coming up in the next hour, we still got 60 minutes to play. Former NFL general manager Thomas Dimitroff will join us, and we will take a look back at Jerry Jones acting like a baby. You know, I was going to maybe say something that wasn't that nice. So I'll be nice and I'll be correct today and I'll be polite today. Jerry Jones is acting like a baby. He was acting like a big petulant brat, that Jerry Jones with Sean and RJ. So we'll dissect that coming up in 25 minutes from now. And we still got to get you a news brief where we'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. So 60 more minutes to play. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in 5 minutes. You're listening to the Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You could always interact with me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, X, @ Zach Yelp. That's Zachgelb, and also call me at 855-212-4227.